Chapter 1, we're going to talk about courage, but the ability to confront the challenges of life. We all need courage because one of the greatest obstacles in life is fear. Sometimes fear prevents people from ever trying anything new. Sometimes it causes people to quit too soon or to give up too easily. Fear is one of the obstacles that keeps us from the life that God wants us to have. If you want to enter the promised land, if you want to experience the victorious life that God has for us, then we need to develop courage. This past week on Wednesday night, our nation witnessed a very brave demonstration of courage. The Humboldt Broncos returned to the ice for the first time since that tragic bus accident, which claimed the lives of 16 people on their team, their organization. And if there is anyone here this morning who lost a friend or a family member in that accident, let me say that we are truly sorry for your loss. And our prayer is that you would find comfort and strength and the assurance of God's love and grace as you work through that grief. An unimaginable tragedy hit that community back in April. And there's been a lot of grieving over the past 6 months. And some of the survivors who suffered some serious injuries are still on that long road to recovery. But on Wednesday night, the Broncos and the community of Humboldt took a very courageous step forward as they returned to the ice for their season opener. I'm sure it wasn't easy, and I'm sure it must have been very emotional, and they definitely demonstrated a lot of courage. To move on from a tragedy like that takes a lot of courage. And so what do we mean by the word courage? Simply put, courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to overcome fear in the face of difficulty, danger, or pain. It's the strength to move into an unknown future. Courage is a virtue that we all need in order to succeed in life, because all of us from time to time face difficulties and difficult circumstances. There are times when we have to face the unknown. It may not be something as tragic and devastating as the Broncos bus accident, and I hope it never is. But even in day-to-day life, we face decisions that require courageous faith, situations that test our character, that test our resolve and our faith. And the question is, when you face these challenges, will you have the strength that it takes to stand strong? Will you be able to demonstrate a courageous faith? And when you face new opportunities, will you have the courage to step out of your comfort zone and take on new challenges? Well, the Bible story we're going to look at this morning addresses this issue. The story of Joshua teaches us about courage and strength. And we're going to look at his story in the book of Joshua, starting in chapter 1 and verse 1. And here we read that after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." The opening lines of this book begin with a crisis. We're told that Moses is dead. This is Moses, the one who was placed in a basket in the Nile River to escape the wrath of Pharaoh, the one who encountered God in the burning bush, the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery, the one who led the people through the Red Sea as the waters parted, the one who brought them God's Ten Commandments, the one who spoke to God as one speaks to a friend, the one who led the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. The only leader they'd ever known was now dead. Try to imagine for a moment the anxiety this must have caused the children of Israel. The father of their nation, the spiritual leader, the prophet, was gone. And here they were, still in the wilderness, still living like nomads without a place to call home. They must have wondered about their future. They must have wondered how they'd find their way. They must have wondered if God was still on their side. And these are the questions that often come to us when we face changes in our lives. We worry about how are things going to turn out? How will we know the right thing to do? And whether or not God is still looking out for us. This is one of the reasons why we might resist change. Because we have so many questions and doubts about the future. But change is inevitable, isn't it? It's going to come whether we like it or not. The children of Israel didn't want to change leaders, but Moses couldn't lead them forever. At 120 years old, he had come to the end of his days. His time as their leader had come to an end. It was time for a change. Just as sure as time keeps on moving, changes keep on happening. For example, whether we like it or not, life is made up of different seasons. We go from childhood to adolescence, from adolescence to adulthood, from singleness to marriage, then to parenthood, then to the empty nest, then to retirement, then to the golden years. Time doesn't stand still. Life is a series of different seasons, seasons of change. As time moves forward, we see that trends change, societies change, governments change, and technology, of course, changes. The things everyone thought were so great last year are now obsolete. And the big trends of last year are now yesterday's news. Things change. It's just a part of life. And we might think that this is a modern-day phenomenon, but of course it's not. Even back in the day of the Old Testament, in ancient times, the children of Israel faced a time of change. Moses was dead. And the children of Israel must have wondered what to do next. Should the 12 tribes of Israel just split up and go their own way? What about the promised land? Was the dream dead? Did it die with Moses? Were they on their own now? For them, it was a time of uncertainty. But God comes to Joshua during this time of change, this time of uncertainty, and gives him some reassurance that everything is going to be okay. In fact, better than okay. God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. The Negev wilderness in the south, the Lebanon mountains in the north, the Euphrates River in the east, the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I'll be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." What a powerful, reassuring word that God gives to Joshua. The message is this: Joshua, Moses is dead, but God is not. Which means God's promises are still true. God's power is still available. And God's presence is still with you. He's still telling Joshua, "Yes, Joshua, things are changing, but you can still trust my promises." He tells him, "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I will give you." He says, "Yes, Joshua, things are changing, but I'm still on the throne, and I'm still going to bless you." He tells him, in fact, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. He says, "Yes, Joshua, things are changing, and Moses is gone, but I'll always be with you, for I'll be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." You see, God is the one constant in our lives that never changes. No matter what changes in the world around us, we always have this assurance that God's promises are always true, God's power is always available, and God's presence is always with us. And when God spoke those words to Joshua, they must have been very comforting and reassuring. But this comfort also came with a commission. It wasn't just about fuzzy, warm feelings. It was about God accomplishing his purposes. It was about fulfilling the promise that God had made to Abraham when he told him back in the book of Genesis, "I will be always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God." God had made a covenant with Abraham. He promised to make his descendants into a great nation and to give them a land of their own. And now God was about to use Joshua to lead his people into that promised land. But it was going to require tremendous faith and courage on the part of Joshua. And so God challenges him with this commissioning. He gives these orders to Joshua: "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed or be successful in everything you do." He says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Courage is essential to any kind of leadership. Here God speaks to Joshua about courage and about carrying out his mission. He begins by saying, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them." God's call on Joshua's life was to lead the Israelites out of the wilderness and into the promised land. In a similar way, God's call on your life also involves moving in some aspect from a point A to point B. God's call on your life involves some type of leadership. And the process of leading is always a point A to point B process. For example, if your primary area of leadership is at home, then God is calling you to take your family where they are now to where they need to be, closer, more loving, more supportive to one another, more committed to one another. It's a point A to point B process. The same can be said of every area of your leadership, at work, at church, or any area of your life. And if you're not in a position right now where you're leading others, then God is calling you to start leading yourself from point A to point B so you can be where he needs you to be. In some aspect of your life, you're involved in a point A to point B process with God, a growth process. And if you're going to get where you need to be, you need to demonstrate courage along the way. You need courage because there will be challenges to your leadership, because there will be obstacles to overcome, because there will be times when success doesn't seem possible, because there will be days when turning back is the easiest thing to do, because you don't really know what tomorrow will bring, and because you don't really know what the promised land looks like, because leaders often feel like they're in this thing alone, because failure always seems to be one bad decision away. When you get serious about moving forward in life, professionally, personally, relationally, spiritually, you'll find that fear of the known and as well as the unknown, is always there to keep you company. It's never far away. And if you want to be the leader God's called you to be, you must choose courage over fear at every turn in the road. Now we see here in the text that three different times God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." That's because courage is a choice that you make. If courage was the same kind of emotional reaction as fear, that's just something that you feel, then his words would seem impossible. The fact is, we don't experience courage the same way we experience fear. Fear is a feeling. Courage is an attitude that leads to action. And that's why God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, because courage was a choice that Joshua had to make. It's not as if God told Joshua, "Hey, be tall or be left-handed or be Irish." These are all things that you can't control. You're either tall or left-handed or Irish, or you're not. But God told Joshua to be courageous because it was a choice that he had to make. It's not a feeling. It's an attitude. And that's why courage needs to be nurtured. Fear comes to us naturally without effort on our part. It's easy to be afraid. It's an automatic emotional reaction. Courage, on the other hand, needs to be developed. God spoke to Joshua about how to be strong and courageous. Listen to what he said. He told him, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either from the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." He said, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." Here we see at least three ways that we can nurture courage. Three ways we can nurture courage. First is by following courageous examples. Moses was a leadership example for Joshua. God said to Joshua, "Do what you learned from Moses. Follow his teaching and follow his example." Although Joshua was his own man, God reminded him from the very beginning that he needed to hang on to the lessons he learned under the leadership of Moses. Do you know a few courageous people whose example you can follow? Have you seen how they react to challenges and setbacks? Have you noticed how they stand up to difficult situations? Well, you can learn from them. Learn to do what they do. When you find an example to follow, follow it. The Bible, of course, is full of examples of people who demonstrated courageous faith, Daniel bravely ignored the edict of the king, prohibiting all people to pray. His faithfulness to God sent him to the lion's den, but God honored his courage and loyalty by saving him and destroying his enemies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow and worship the golden image of the king. They resolved to worship God and God alone. And so they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but God rewarded their courage by saving them. And even the king was convinced that their God was higher than any other god. And Moses bravely proclaimed God's message to Pharaoh. He told him, "Let my people go." And God confirmed his message by bringing the 10 plagues onto Egypt, providing a highway through the sea to set his people free. And Esther risked the possibility of being killed by appearing before the king's throne just to save her people. And God honored her courage by touching the heart of the king and punishing their enemies. They were ordinary people, just like us, but they were men and women of courage and faith. The writer of Hebrews wrote, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And so look for examples that you can follow. Secondly, we nurture courage by getting into the word of God. God tells Joshua, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." God is telling Joshua very clearly to immerse himself into God's word, to study it, to meditate on it, and to live it out. I can tell you this, that the more of God's word you have hidden in your heart, the easier it is to walk in courage. David Wilkerson, some of you remember the book he wrote many years ago, The Cross and Switchblade. He tells a story about how he had the courage to face the town bully when he was just a schoolboy. It came by quoting scripture. He quoted that verse from Zechariah where it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And Wilkerson had heard that the town bully was after him. And when he approached him that day, David didn't know if he's about to get cussed at or to get beaten up. But the words of the scripture gave him the courage to stand up and to face that danger. And that event began a pattern in David Wilkerson's life. He faced danger repeatedly as he ministered to the gangs of New York City. And it was the word of God that gave him the courage to move forward. If you want the courage to face the unknown, if you want the courage to leave the wilderness behind and enter into the promised land, then immerse yourself in God's word. Study it, meditate on it, do what it says. That's how you nurture courage, by following courageous examples, by getting into the word of God, and thirdly, by putting our trust in God. God said to Joshua, "This is my command. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Remember in verse 5, God told Joshua, "I will not fail you or abandon you." And now just a few verses later, God repeats this promise to Joshua saying, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He says it again because he wants Joshua to remember. He wants the people of Israel to remember. And he wants you and I to remember that he is always with you. The time you open your eyes in the morning till your head hits the pillow at night, God is at your side. Everywhere you go, he's there. You know what this means? It means that nothing will happen to you that you and he can't handle together. It means that in every battle, in every circumstance, in every difficulty, every dark moment, God is beside you. He knows everything you're going through. If you want to nurture your courage, then you need to know that God is with you wherever you go, and then you can face the future. Near the end of the book of Joshua, we read this wonderful testimony. It says, "Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true." Isn't that a wonderful testimony? It's the truth. And what was true for them is also true for us, true for you. God is the one constant in our lives that never changes. No matter what changes in the world around us, we have the assurance that God's promises are always true, God's power is always available, and God's presence is always with us. Remember, Jesus said, "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, September marks the beginning of a new season, a new school year, a time when we kick off our church ministries, It's a time of change, and it's a time of new opportunities. So now is not the time to shrink back. Now is the time to rediscover your purpose, refocus your priorities, renew your commitment, and proceed with a courageous faith. And so as we go forward, let's be strong and courageous. Let's live out a courageous faith. I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the constant in our lives. You are the rock. You are steadfast. You are faithful. When we are inconsistent, Lord, you remain consistent. Lord, when we are weak, it doesn't affect you. You remain strong, and you are there for us. And Lord, we pray that this morning as we grow in our understanding of who you are, that it would increase our faith and our resolve, and that we would draw from that great courage in the face of challenges and difficulties. Lord, we trust in you, not in the things of this world. And help us to walk in that starting today, as today is a fresh new day. Lord, we pray that you increase our faith as we face these things in our lives today and in the future. May we walk with confidence into an unknown future, Lord, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. We give you praise for that, Lord. We give you praise, Lord God. And we know, Lord God, that you are greater than anything that we face. And we want to walk in your purposes and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.